Thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show. This is Paul Grant. You are listening to a previously recorded show. In this message, I mention a couple of estate tax numbers. In Washington, I mentioned $2.2 million. That is now changed to $3 million. And I mention a federal estate tax at $12 million. That is now at $14 million. Please exchange those numbers as you listen to them and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, continuing our discussion of what could possibly go wrong that you might need an estate plan. But
yeah,
the thing is, everybody, regardless of whether things go wrong or not, you need an estate plan so that when they do go wrong, you're covered.
Yeah, you're set and you're ready, right? So what could go wrong? Well, many things could go wrong, but with a good solid plan, then there is something to meet that challenge that we face, whether it is something that we experience in life, like a disability, a major change in family dynamics, whether wealth comes or whether wealth leaves, that we need a plan that can be adjusted and meet those challenges regardless of what it is. And then, unfortunately, my world is about what happens when people die and how do we transfer wealth properly? Mm. How do we move things from the hands of one person into the next generation with a vision that you see, not with just handing it over? Although maybe that's the vision you see, that's fine. But it can be structured in a way to ensure the next generation's safety, make sure that they're wise with it, make sure that it actually fulfills the vision that God has given you with your resources instead of maybe just haphazardly handing it off. And last week we talked about a couple things, which is if someone already has a will, that could be one of the mentalities that people have. Mm. Well, we addressed that. What happens if you already have done a will or a trust? We talked about needing to review things on a regular basis. And I talked that at least every 3 to 5 years, you should be having your estate plan reviewed. So if that sounds like that's just way too often, and why in the world would I need to do that? Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com and last week's podcast is sitting there for you to listen.
Okay.
Then we talked about, well, I don't have much. So do I really need a plan? Yep, you really need a plan because you are your greatest asset. So we don't want to neglect estate planning if you don't feel that you have very much. Of course, that is a little bit arbitrary. Maybe you don't have as much and you're comparing yourself to somebody else, but you are your greatest asset, so we need to make sure that you are always well taken care of. And then we talked at the very end of last week's show, well, what happens if I just haven't gotten it to it yet? Yeah, procrastination's a bummer. As a matter of fact, the more wealthy you are, the more money you have, typically you're focused on making that money, and we forget to do some of the things that we should be doing. So we kind of set this whole thing aside, and over 50% of people who haven't done an estate plan, as a matter of fact, the statistic is 56%. So I have an actual statistic on how people procrastinate. Mm. They say that that's the biggest reason that they just haven't gotten off their rusty dusty to do this plan, even though they know they should. So let's today do it. Let's get moving. Let's get in motion. Let's not allow procrastination just to sit there and be the reason that we don't take care of those around us and take care of yourself. That's the big deal. Mm. Take care of yourself.
Well, we're into the subject of how taxes can be an issue, and you've seen plans that come across your desk that deal with this subject in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah. I mentioned it a little bit here, which is how often should I get an estate plan reviewed? And my response is probably more often than what the average person thinks. And one of the biggest things I see when a plan comes across my desk is that it's well outdated. It's very outdated.
How often do tax laws change?
Oh, well, they're
every year?
Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Congress is always passing new budgets. So whenever you see a new budget, there's probably tax language that influences that budget. Mm-hmm. And so Congress is always adjusting things. Washington State just tried to impose a capital gain tax on property, on appreciated assets, to try to take a cut of the pie. Mm. They did that last year and it implemented this year. But now that has been stayed at this point in time. But that's a huge tax issue. The Washington State now wants to start collecting capital gains.
On your primary residence, you mean?
No, not on primary residence, but on other real estate. Mm. So if you had appreciated property that's a rental, if you cash out a lot of stock and you had that, if you sold a business, that would be an appreciable asset that would be subject to capital gains. So there's multiple areas that capital gain would be applicable to. And however, that the lower courts have said, no, that's called an income tax. In Washington, we don't have an income tax. So it's going to go up to the Supreme Court. I believe that the Supreme Court if Washington is going to find the same thing, that is an income tax. It's not going to actually be implemented. But there it is. Washington State is trying to implement an income tax and a new tax structure. So tax things are always a moving piece of the estate planning puzzle. So let's talk about, when do taxes actually take place? Number one, if you have any type of an IRA, so a tax-deferred plan that you got at work or that you contributed to yourself, and now you pass away and that's handed down to the next person, other than to a spouse. So you can pass that off to a spouse, and a spouse can do what's called a rollover. They can actually take it as if it was their IRA. So no harm, no foul. If they're over the age of 70 or if they've already started required minimum distributions, then they would have to continue that on the new sum that they've now received from their deceased spouse. Or if they're over 70, they have to take them regardless. So there's a way, if someone dies, if you give it to your spouse, that there's actually no taxes due. But on almost every other category, a tax will start to the beneficiary, because that money has never been taxed. And so the government says, well, if it hasn't been taxed yet, we would like the tax to start now. It used to be that we could roll that out for the rest of somebody's life. That no longer exists. So now with an inherited IRA, the standard rule is that someone must liquidate that within 10 years. It probably makes sense for most inheritors to take 1/10 each year. Now, I'm not saying that that is the best plan. We'd have to look at an inheritor. What do they make on an annual basis? Maybe they're about ready to retire, and so we would want to hold off. They can just hold it for all 10 years and then cash it in the 10th year, actually the 11th year, but they can cash it out all in one lump sum. Now, most beneficiaries are going to do that cashing out right at the beginning. They're going to see that they get an inheritance and they're going to say, yeehaw, this is my lucky day. I'll cash it out. I hope that they're talking to somebody, because there's better tax structures that can happen with that. But also, that's going to be taxable income to them. So what does it look like? Are your beneficiaries at the same place? Are they on Social Security? Are they already on Medicaid? In other words, they need assistance. They don't have much. So they're on social programs. Well, if they have to cash it all out, that could disqualify them. Are they a special needs beneficiary? Well, we don't want to start giving money and lump sums of money to a beneficiary that is in need of helping that person, whether it's for health needs, whether they're completely disabled, or whether they are going through a hard time. We may need to restructure how they receive that inheritance. I remember one beneficiary I dealt with. It just broke my heart because he unfortunately had an addiction issue and did not have much of a relationship with his father, but It was his only child, and dad never put a beneficiary designation on the asset. He left it blank. So that means it defaults to his estate, and his estate paid any of the taxes that were required. But that means here, this beneficiary received over $100,000, and I don't know what happened to him. But boy, is that what we want to do? Is that how the planning that we want to actually play out, that we give everything to someone who may have a compromised life? So whether that's someone who's disabled, someone who has had a hard time managing their finances, or may be on SSDI, we can protect these individuals or may have an addiction issue. We can protect them better with good estate planning, and we can make sure that what we plan is also tax efficient to ensure that they don't cash everything out at the beginning, but there's actually a strategy, a financial strategy for when they receive it. So that tax may actually apply to most listeners across the board. Now, there's also another tax that we have to talk about. That other tax is if anyone has more than $2.2 million in Washington, then an estate tax will start. Now, this is where we start talking about that we actually really need to have a trust, because specifically when you're married, if my wife and I had more than $2.2 million to our name and I die and I give everything to my wife, because I have to die first in the story, right? Men have to die first in all the stories. It's just the way we've been programmed to die first. So now the husband dies first and gives everything to his surviving spouse. Well, if as a couple you have more than $2.2 million, we made a tax mistake. And that mistake was that when the husband died, if the plan is not properly prepared, we lost his exemption power. So what does that mean? An exemption is anyone can exempt from taxes the first $2.2 million. So proper planning ensures that the first one to pass away uses their full exemption, and then the surviving spouse has his or her exemption power. So in Washington, for married couples, you can actually protect $4.35 million. Okay, so over $4 million you can protect, and no tax will occur, but only if you do planning. So I had a widow come into my office, and she had lost her husband about 6 months ago, and they clearly had more than $2 million, but they only used wills. And so therefore, his will said, I love my wife so much, give everything to my wife. Well, that was wrong planning. It was incomplete planning. It didn't meet the tax necessities or objectives that this particular family had. And so we lost his exemption power. And now when the surviving spouse may pass away, she may be looking at an estate tax unless we do some other finagling. Unfortunately, the other finagling, when an attorney has to do other finagling, that means it costs a lot more. Okay, so if an attorney says, well, I have to finagle some things, that just means you get a bigger bill. So let's do estate planning out of the gate, because it's actually easier to do and it's not as expensive. So that should get people in motion. You don't want to pay as much for your estate plan? Do it now. Do it before we have to finagle something. So there's more tax issues because, yeah, why not? It bores people, so let's talk about it. It's probably not great radio, but there we are.
Okay. Well, what could possibly go wrong when it comes to taxes? Obviously, lots of things. I had no idea that you could be on the hook for such a big hit there if you didn't do the right kinds of exemptions for your spouse.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing. Okay, people want to know more. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's podcasts, things that we've done in the past. There's upcoming educational opportunities, a great way to get involved, and then there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
This is Paul with the Legacy and Faith Show. On Monday, August 4th at 6 p.m., we have an upcoming Truth About Estate Planning workshop. We will be discussing wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and so much more. You can attend by Zoom or in person at our Linwood office. To register, head over to legacyandfaith.com, click on the events tab, and you can register for the upcoming Monday, August 4th, 6 p.m. Truth About Estate Planning workshop. I look forward to seeing you there.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show. This is Paul Grant. You are listening to a previously recorded show. In this message, I mention a couple of estate tax numbers. In Washington, I mentioned $2.2 million. That is now changed to $3 million. And I mention a federal estate tax at $12 million. That is now at $14 million. Please exchange those numbers as you listen to them and enjoy the show.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, with co-host Mark Holland, and Paul is telling us all the things that could possibly go wrong when it comes to estate planning, and a lot of things can go wrong when it comes to taxes.
Yeah, it's such a riveting discussion, isn't it? Yeah. Taxes. Everyone loves to talk about taxes, right? The problem is I actually kind of get excited about taxes. That's a little scary. But, yeah, you know, the other thing that can go wrong is that maybe there's a CPA out there. There's other attorneys who say, well, you can just use a will, and there's a thing called portability. Oh, what's portability, Paul? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Portability is a federal tax clause that says if my spouse didn't use his or her exemption, because before break, we were just talking about what an exemption is that each person can exempt a certain amount of money from taxes when they die. And so we want to make sure that we take advantage of those tax exemptions. So we can use a thing called portability. The problem is that the federal government has a very, very high tax exemption, $12 million per person. So if you do good planning, you can exempt $24 million. Now, that's going to go down in a couple of years. That's going to be cut in half, but we're not going to talk about that. The issue is that there's a thing called portability, which is if one spouse dies, they can port, they can give to their surviving spouse the exemption that they did not use. Okay, so that's pretty good. So why don't we just use that system? Well, there's a couple problems there. Is that number one, Washington State does not have a portability clause. So, and we have a much lower tax threshold, $2.2 million. So number one is that in Washington, we blew the whole taxing scheme and portability doesn't exist for us here in Washington. It exists on a federal level, so that's good because, boy, if you're subject to that, that's a 40% tax. That's horrible. Well, here it starts at 15 and it graduates to 21. So why even pay that tax if we don't have to? Let's do good planning. And we can usually sidestep a majority of taxes, if not all of taxes. Now, the other issue is that portability on a federal level only works if you don't get remarried. So if you get remarried, then your first spouse's portability election who passed away is now fully cut off. So there's a risk because men get remarried rather quickly after they lose a wife. And so that stat is actually around 2 years. So yes, you are right. Wives they get remarried quickly because they need somebody to babysit them. And so therefore, if you get remarried, you lost the portability. And so therefore, it's at risk. It's not a fail-safe way to do tax planning. It's a Band-Aid. And we can do better planning instead of using Band-Aids. Now, I've seen trusts that have absolutely no planning. So don't think that every trust is created equally. It is absolutely not. Most trusts do an okay job with tax planning, but very few, as a matter of fact, almost, it's a very, very rare trust that does an excellent job at tax planning. So if you are in a taxable estate over $2 million, let's say if you're even heading into that category, $1.5 million you have as a married couple or as a single, you need to start using a trust. The right instrument matters, but also getting the right attorney who has the tax background to ensure that the tax clauses are going to be excellent instead of just okay is also critical. So having an instrument doesn't answer the full question. Get it reviewed. Make sure that it's going to meet those challenges in life and make sure that the tax planning is done at an excellent level, not just an okay level. So taxes, yep, we got to think about them. There are answers for taxes. So that's the great news is that there are good answers, but we just have to take the first step. So whether you have done no planning or whether you've already done planning and you want the security that indeed the structure of what you currently have is going to meet the challenge of your tax needs, then would love to help you. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and we can take a peek at everything for you.
Well, moving on to the next point in here on what could possibly go wrong, does it matter how assets are titled? In other words, whose name is on the asset or how the beneficiary is elected?
Boy,
difference does this make?
Yeah, that's everything, actually. How you hold property or assets, how it's titled is the whole ballgame in estate planning. So, yes, there has to be an underlying document that is excellently created. Okay, so that is step number one. But then step number two is that all of your assets have to be integrated into the plan. So unfortunately, the document itself, it doesn't rescue you. We have to go step by step in an estate planning process. Is that if we don't align your assets, your checking accounts, your investments, your 401ks and IRAs and retirement plans, your property, your businesses, all of these things have to be integrated to the plan properly. So if you use a trust, what that means is that all of your assets should be in the name of the trust except for your IRAs. Okay? By tax law, they must remain in your personal name, and then we use the beneficiary to properly align the beneficiary clause to the plan. But otherwise, almost everything else needs to be in the name of the trust. So if you have a trust and you have assets in your joint name, your trust may not be working as you think, and your estate plan may be at risk. So you need to have that reviewed. Unfortunately, I see this a lot, which is we have a trust, but then we have assets titled in our name. That is incompatible. And that is a broken estate plan. Mm. It needs to be fixed. I don't know what to do over the radio, but I can help you if we sit down with you and actually look at the plan and look at your assets. Even if you use a will, there's a way that I can actually create a will package that avoids probate in Washington State. So how does that sound? Does everyone listening to me, I know it's probably your highest goal that you would love to have your family go through the probate process, right? Okay, well, if no, then all of your assets and how they are titled and how they blend with your plan is actually very, very critical. And we got to get it aligned. So we got to review that, make sure the plan is excellent. That's step number one. But number two is that we got to make sure that all of your assets are blended and integrated with your plan properly. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
What's the most common asset that maybe is not titled correctly?
Yeah, houses I see. So here's one issue. If a house is jointly owned and then one spouse dies, the surviving spouse may call the taxing authority, but they don't retitle the home. Those are two separate entities when you're dealing with real estate. So I see a lot of deceased spouses still on title to a home. Mm. That's a really big issue. The other one is that really almost any other account, we try to use beneficiaries to save the day. But when we change something within the estate plan, maybe we forget to go back and adjust the beneficiaries. Mm. So beneficiary designations are important. If, for example, you decide to add a nonprofit, you add your church. That's a great thing to do, everybody. Add your church. They're doing God's work. Support that, even if you pass away. Okay, so what if you said, I'm going to give 10% of everything I own at my death to my church, but then your beneficiary designation says, I'm going to leave everything to my two kids. Well, there's an inconsistency because you changed your mind. So unfortunately, deceased beneficiaries being on beneficiaries, and so that's a problem. So it can spread across all different types of assets, but those are some of the things that I see more regularly, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay, well, we just got a couple of minutes left here. Yep. Anything else we should mention in this?
Well, yeah, there's a couple. There's just two different people groups I want to briefly mention that if you fit within them, I don't have time here, but I've actually addressed these issues in depth in past shows. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, click on the podcast, look through the titles. And if you're in a blended family, you need to do estate planning. It is one of the more difficult things to have a blended family to ensure that both families are well protected should one spouse die before the other. And then business owners, we got to get you taken care of. I know it's hard to get away from your business. I know it's hard to think outside of, I need to keep my business moving to make ends meet. I know that. I experience it. I get it. But we got to get your estate plan done. So if you're in a blended family situation or if you're a small business owner, please head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, as I mentioned, educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. I'd love to help you. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
The heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.